Negotiators podcast. Today it's a great pleasure to welcome Patricia Fripp. This is the fourth time I have interviewed Patricia Fripp, and she, as you can see, she's at her home in San Francisco. Patricia is an expert on influencing, on selling and presenting. But what I wanted to ask Patricia today was about words and the language you use and how the power of positive language and the negativity of negative language works. So good morning, Patricia. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Always my pleasure, Derek. And I would change that phrase rather than positive language to specific language, which has a more positive effect. For example, one of my big clients in America is a technology company that, like most of our clients these days, sell throughout the world. And twice a year, they have big conferences where their customers and good prospects would fly to that location for a very exciting convention. For example, last year, we had 5,600 people from 71 countries. To have an effect in their technical presentations, understanding though most people would speak business English, there still has to be a certain part of interpreting what they heard in the moment. So I encourage, to be more persuasive, you have to speak to be remembered and hopefully repeat it. Because ideally you want customers and prospects to go back to their home offices and say, this is what I learned at the conference. So therefore, to have a positive effect with your words, one, speak in shorter sentences. One idea a sentence, because the written word is for the eye. You can have longer sentences because you can always reread and you've got longer to digest it. When you're hearing it, it's in the moment, then it's gone. And if we take out every word that isn't needed, the words that are left will have a more positive impact. So for example, the most overused word in business communication is the word today. This is what you will learn today. No, I'm an intelligent person. I know it's today. And to be really specific, it isn't today, which is 24 hours. It is in 50 minutes that I'm in your session. Now, yes, you're going to say, oh, Fripp, you're so nitpicky. Of course I am. And these tiny, tiny changes, practice consistently, all together make a difference. So what you are here to learn. All right, good. Learn is the impact phrase. Then, the next question I ask is, if it weren't a thing, what would it be? And this is where language really comes alive and is more memorable, which has a positive impact. And if I may just hijack your interview, as it were, one example, then I'm going to shut up, from these very brilliant engineers who give very technical presentations. One said, there are two things people love about. So I asked him, if they weren't things, what would they be? Innovative upgrades. Wow, that sounds much more impressive. I said, there are billions of people in the world. What people love? Your innovative upgrades. He said, systems administrators. Now, if you were from another country who spoke English, but not as well as you might consider you really speak, you would now be more impressed that you were about to hear of two innovative upgrades that systems administrators just like you love. With that, I shut up and throw it back to you.
So what you were saying there was, things are banned, stuff is banned, which is a word we use a lot in the UK. I don't know whether people use it a lot in the US as well, things and stuff.
Until they meet me and get slapped every time they say it, yes.
These are very general words, but they don't mean anything, do they? We assume, I guess, that the other person knows what we mean, but we are devaluing them at that point. Can you give me an example? I'll put you on the spot. So I talk about negotiating stuff. Yeah. How might I change that? Or when you're negotiating this thing, you need to sort it out. How would you reframe that?
Well, it depends on the context. For example, I write emails all the time. Before I send them, I think, now, what do I mean by it? So you might have started talking about the negotiation training. In the negotiation training, what you will learn from it. Well, you know, I would go, because it's usually the it isn't usually in the same sentence as the subject, the negotiations training, the presentation skills training. So I always make sure that before I send it, if there's an it, I'm more specific. The training, the seminar, the learning. What do I mean by it? So when it comes to stuff, now stuff is non-specific to the point I don't know what you're talking about. And the difference between an important negotiation, an important conversation, a presentation, an everyday language, is that you think, if you're a wise person and you listen to either of us, you're going to think in advance what it is you're going to say to have a positive effect, or at least increase your likelihood they will say yes. And therefore, if you're thinking through what you might say, I would say write down, not an entire 45 minute conversation, but at least how you get started. If you start with specific language that you then internalize, you're more likely, you won't go to your lazy, sloppy, non-specific language that you might do in everyday conversation. Now, what I train my clients, Derek, is the only way under stress, which these big negotiations or big sales presentations, I don't care how seasoned you are, this is stressful. You imagine a company is trying to do business with another company. It's taken them a year to have 30 minutes on the decision maker's calendar. Even if you send the most seasoned salesperson, you still, that person is going to be a bit nervous. And what happens when we're nervous? We revert to what is comfortable, even though it might not be as effective. So the way you make your strong negotiating, presenting, sales presentation, inspiring action and commitment conversations is to, in your everyday life, be aware of sloppy words you use. As I tell my clients and audiences, you're never going to improve what you're not aware of. And so this is, when we are together, of course I don't criticize you all the time. We're friends. But that's why once in a while I say, Derek, you've already said that. You didn't know you did. So I recommend my clients, on your side of conversations, record them just to listen. When you become aware of the words we overuse, and we all have them, or the sloppy words that slip in, you have to tell your direct reports, your co-workers, or your spouse, I'm trying to be more specific. Please bring my attention when I say these words. Because if you clean up your everyday language, it's going to be so much easier under stress, because your comfort level is now tightened and more specific.
That's really clear. So I think what you're saying there is, I know what you're saying there is that we should certainly write down the first two or three lines of our presentation, how we start it. And perhaps if we're doing a workshop or a masterclass, every session before we go back in, just have a look at the language that you're going to use. So you get rid of the things, the it's, and things like that. Things like that. I said it there. What about amazing words, real energy words? What are your top five energy words?
Well, top one is congratulations.
Oh, okay. Number one, right?
I'd say congratulations. Well, because in a sales conversation, I work on the principle, Derek, that everyone's more interested in themselves than they are in you. I'm sure that's in your training too.
Absolutely.
Because we make decisions for what's good for us. Now, if hiring Derek Arden or Patricia Fripp is good for us, great. But when you talk to people, and it's simple email. If I have an inquiry, say from the website, I would then research them, go to LinkedIn. And so my first reply in the email is congratulations for your impressive bio.
Wow.
Now, at least they know, wow, she researched before she answered the email. If I'm going in to perhaps have a conversation about training, it could be, well, congratulations on realizing that good presentation skills are going to take you to the next level of your career or your company. It can be as simple as that. But it might also be, congratulations, your advertising campaign is fabulous. Congratulations, your website is amazing. Oh, congratulations. Every single person who saw me as I was walking here from the reception desk to the office said good morning, asked if I need help. Obviously, your core values are alive and well. So that would be congratulations. The second word.
I was just thinking there, sorry to interrupt, that you can add, if you use congratulations, when you're writing it, you can add anything onto congratulations, can't you?
Sure.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Then, okay, number two.
The next two would be you, because a good part of my training is what I would call the balance, the ratio between I and you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take my client's sales letters. I will look at, you know, perhaps listen to their presentation. And it's amazing if you have a transcript of what you have said, because I recommend for a speaker or a salesperson who is going to use similar content on a regular basis, that you might, with your own team, rehearse the presentation you're going to go give to win business or for a negotiation session you're going into, and then have it transcribed. And then yellow highlight all the I's, and you might pink highlight all the U's. Now you look at the sentences that start with I, and this is an everyday email. And just see, how can I change it to you? So I am sending you the information you requested. And then, that's what I might write in the email. Then I go back in, you will be receiving the information you requested. So I'm writing the same, I'm still sending it to them, but I'm taking I out of it. And mm-hmm. I truly believe the more you language that we use, it gives the impression, wow, they are interested in me more than the other trainer we're talking to, who might be equally qualified, might be as good, price are the same. It's just the impression is this person is more interested in our business than the other person. It's all you focus language.
This isn't easy, is it? Now, I go through my executive briefing, and then I give it to Sally, my wife, and she goes through it and she takes out all these eyes, and I didn't even see the eyes. So it's difficult to do, isn't it?
It's very difficult to proof your own writing. I have a retired English school teacher who reads what I send out, my proposals and
brilliant
articles. Yeah.
And you make the mistakes as well, I guess.
Oh, of course. And what I do a lot in my weekly mailings, I send out a short video with a transcript of it, but the transcript might be slightly different because the English school teacher has looked at it.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. So people can either read or listen, whatever they prefer. So because the written word is for the eye.
Mm.
The spoken word is for the rhythm. So that's two.
That's two. Three?
I would say probably, just because I've been trained by one of my friends who's a copywriter, is new. It's new. And I know that word works for me when I get emails or sales letters. New. We always want to know what's new, excited, or updated. And another one would be free. Now, although I'm wary of free, you know, whenever I one of my assistants says, oh, they have, you know, a free app or a free this to do that, I always think, well, what's the paid version? Because I always like to think, well, if they're, or how are they making money out of it being free? I've often said to companies, we give this to you free, Patricia. I say, well, how do you make your money? Oh, well, it's paid advertising. Okay, fine. As long as I know you're making money, I'll accept that it's free.
Well, there's two things that the people listening and watching this might raise there. Number one is if you're using mailings, sometimes the word free means it gets spammed out.
Yes.
Secondly, is free valueless? Because I always used to think that free was valueless, and
yes,
I know it's not.
So although Garfinkel, my copywriter pals, always says it's a magic word, but you see, this is what we would encourage everybody do. You have to debate internally this, because our mother said, you know, you're going to get what you pay for. So that's why it's a magic word, but you have to analyze when to use it. And I know, yeah, free, you know, my team says, you know, their email ain't going to go through if it's got free in the title. So another word, now I don't know if it's one of my favorites, but I deliver webinars, which we give away free. Or as you might say, you are our guest. Is that a nice way of saying it's free? You are our guest.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
But I don't call it, I call it a web power session.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Feel free to use it. It's a, yeah. So it's because free webinars used to be a big deal. Now everyone and their mother is giving them. So I made two changes. One, they are not more than 20 minutes and they're usually 15. It's one subject going deep, and any questions you have asked, I answer in email. Because very often it's the answering questions that can make a webinar longer. So it's just one specific idea, structure, openings, stories, you know, just superstar sales presentations. These are the elements. And if anyone wants to check them out, you just go to fripp.com, click on events, and they're all listed.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And they will
can I check one thing with you? My as we've got this line coming all the way from San Francisco, and I'm in Guildford in Surrey, my computer, I can't see you anymore. Can you see me?
I can see you.
Okay.
No, don't worry.
Okay. So that's a fault on my computer. I can't see you. So if we carry on for the next 5 minutes, and then what I might do, I might ask you if we can have a second session, as I'm looking at this a bit blind at the moment.
Well, you can look at it, Derek, because usually in Zoom, the person who is speaking fills the screen. So don't worry.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's brilliant. Four and five before we move on.
Well, I thought, let's see. What did I give you? Congratulations.
Yep. You and free.
Free and power. Power is going to be one.
Mm-hmm.
And new.
And new. Okay. Yeah, that's the five. That's brilliant. What about some headings, things that you might, if you're writing a LinkedIn article or a Facebook article or a white paper, you want people to read it, don't you? And I must admit, I concentrate on the content and then have a pretty average header. And I know that I've got that totally the wrong way round.
Well, what we use is the Headline Analyzer.
Right.
And that is free. Well, I know how to and 10 ways. Lists always work well and how to works well. So let's just say I have an article that, I can't think of a specific example, but I have the headline, the title of the article is what it is. Well, Paul, and sometimes I will, depending, just go through the Headline Analyzer for emotional impact. And you want to get it up to as close to 100 points as possible. And these are free. These are free Headline Analyzers. So I will certainly give you the link of the one that we use. Yeah, there's a different one. If you just Google Headline Analyzer, you'll find it.
Fantastic. Okay. Now, what about poor language? Poor language, some of the things we should cut out. We've talked already about thing and stuff. Is there anything else that comes to mind when you're coaching your top class?
Yes, kind of and sort of.
Right.
Excuse me, kind of and sort of. And I don't know if you've noticed in your work, Derek, but I find when I become aware of it, for me, it would be a new sloppy language. I notice everybody does it. It's not just one or two clients. It seems like everyone. And kind of and sort of. Now, also, again, bunches is for grapes. I always say, and it's a matter of, and it goes back to being specific. For example, one of my clients, I was saying, in our training, there's a limit to how many people I can coach in one day. However, it would be great to invite other people who are going to be delivering these presentations to sit and watch. And my client said, great idea, because Greg has just hired a boatload of new people. And I said, Michelle, is it a dinghy or an ocean liner?
Because
You see, this is an important part, Derek, is that we use words to communicate. However, people see what we say. And it would be like, how many is a bunch? How many is a boatload? So I said, Michelle, specifically, how many people did he hire? She said, 4. Now, I don't think that's a boatload. I imagined a lot more. So I said, what's wrong with saying 4? Now, if you were a sales manager and you paid $5,000 for a booth at a conference, you spent another $10,000 for airline tickets, hotel accommodations, registrations for the extra registrations for the event for your team to go there. Now you want to know, is it a good return on investment? And so you talk to one of the people, we got tons of leads. You can't weigh a lead. You know, if you had a ton of business cards, you couldn't leave the room. Now, if you said the trade show booth was open over 3 days, a total of 10 hours. During that time, we identified the traffic as to ongoing clients, not prospects or prospects. And these were the numbers in each category. And with the ongoing clients, 50 of them asked for a demo of our new software. And the internal team has already scheduled those. The good prospects, there were 157, and this is what's happened with them. Now, in the off trade show hours, we took it in turns to walk around and develop with relationships with the other companies. And we identified three partnerships, potential partnerships with these companies. And we learned from two of our competitors this. And there were three other companies that could be very good prospects for us. Now, that's specific. You don't have a ton of leads. You don't have a bunch of leads. That's specificity. And as I teach, specificity builds credibility.
Now, we're nearly coming to the end of this interview, but you mentioned something earlier, which I know a lot of people don't understand. And I had a problem even getting my brain around it and understanding it. Okay. You said that words create pictures. So we make a picture in our mind. Yeah. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And there is a book called The Brilliance Breakthrough by Eugene Schwartz. And my genius copywriting pal gave it to me years ago and said, this is the best copywriting book I've ever read. Now, it's out of date. And if you Google it, I know the last time I looked, I found it secondhand for $964. But this is the premise of the book. And this is what you need to know. This is a premise. And this is why Boatload is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Because I can see a boat, but I don't know if it's a little boat, a dinghy, or an ocean liner. Eugene Schwartz said, forget nouns, adjectives, adverbs, pronouns. Forget it. There are two types of words. Picture words and connecting words. Now, let's just look at simple phrases like this. I walked into the boss's office. I rushed into the boss's office. I sauntered into the boss's office. Now you see me walking into an office. Now you see an office, but can you see whether I walk, rush, or saunter? It's a different picture. Now let's look at another. The brilliant, how about the colorful, glossy brochure came across my desk. This company spent some money. It's not online, it's a brochure. They spent some money. It might be worth reading what it's about.
I can see that. So we're making these pictures.
So for example, another, what I say is Patricia Fripp can help you if your presentations are in a boardroom, a training center, or a convention hall.
Yeah.
So in other words,
visualizing being there, aren't they? At that point, I can see them.
So I have another. It's how do you connect to your audience in person and online and on stage? Three different pictures. So it's just becoming aware. It's just, now here's one other. I was helping a lawyer with a presentation on modern day slavery. And as part of one of her, because I said, you have to tell three stories about a man, a woman, and a couple. Make this real. And in one of the stories, and we've all seen the stories on television and we've read them, but the one phrase was, he promised her many things. I said, no, he didn't. He promised her a life of romance and adventure. Now, those two words also add emotions and visuals and understanding beyond the time that it took to say them. With those words, promised her a life of romance and adventure. you can understand why a young woman would leave the safety of home and go off with this man within the context of the story. How about the service of the Ritz-Carlton and the efficiency of FedEx?
Wow.
It gives you more information, more understanding than it takes to say it. That's the power of words.
That's fantastic. Patricia, thanks so much indeed for joining me. Patricia was over at the Excel Centre coaching people for 3 days to present in front of 2,000 people in November. And we caught up and had a fantastic lunch in Greenwich. And I'm going to Denver. I nearly forgot where it was in July, and to the National Speaking Convention. Which
oh, you're coming. Good. I'm so glad I'll see you there.
I booked my flights and I'm looking forward to meeting all my friends and picking up some more information for my readers and viewers. Patricia Fripp, can I thank you so much for joining me today? And can I ask you that you'll join me again in a few months' time?
Oh, I hope so. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, Patricia.